it's your responsibility to set a boundary and say no more.
A trillion percent.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, when I was little, I couldn't protect myself. This person was huge and I couldn't do anything and I was little. But now I'm an adult and I can say, fuck no. Like, no. Mm-hmm. You know? That's the thing what people have to understand is that now you have to protect that little girl in mm-hmm. you. You know, you are a little boy. You have to be the one that says, no, like, I'm worth so much more mm-hmm. and I'm worthy of unconditional love. And what you are giving me is not serving me anymore. So mm-hmm. thank you for that experience. Thank you for showing me that this is actually not what I want. And bye. Hey, I heard you want to leave this place where we grew up. This old town, just put it all behind. Remember you and I would always find somewhere. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever, and welcome to another episode of The Vegan Life. On today's episode, Mariana Bekova steps by. Mariana is a model, influencer, yogi, and just a big, big sunshine.
Aww.
It's a pretty, pretty chilled and relaxed day in Bali, Shmali. So I thought we're going to start with a hot seat. You already know what a hot seat is, right?
Yeah, I think so. When I answer the questions really quickly.
Yeah, as fast as possible. If it takes you longer than 3 seconds, you have to do 10 burpees.
Oh my god, that's a lot
you
of pressure.
Yeah, with burpees.
Yeah.
Burpees.
Yeah.
Burpees.
Burpees.
Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Hummus or avocado?
Hummus.
Okay. If you say avocado, I basically kick you out.
I know, I thought that, so I didn't say it.
There was not a single guest who said avocado.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there were some, but they
yeah, never... they didn't make the cut.
They didn't make the cut.
Good to know.
Okay. If you... Well, that's a deep question. If you could meet and have dinner with any person who ever lived, who would it be and why?
Wow. Okay.
Hot seat.
The first person who comes up is probably Tony Robbins.
Oh, nice. That is my answer as
really?
Well.
I really admire him. He's such an inspiration to me, so probably him.
Uh-huh. What would you ask him?
I would just probably not say anything because I'd be so shocked. I'd, like, stare at him. Yeah, I don't know.
I agree. He's so big. So he
probably, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What 3 words would you use to describe yourself?
Oh, you asked me this yesterday. What did
I say?
Yeah,
in the vlog, but let's see what you're saying now
okay,
on the podcast.
I would say empathetic, kind, and creative.
You said something else yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think you said energetic, which is
all. That's also true.
Okay. If you could jump... Wow, that's such a good question. If you could jump into a pool full of something, what would it be?
Probably water.
Despite water.
Okay. I don't know.
I know my answer.
What is it?
Hummus.
Oh, yeah. I should have said hummus.
Which habit are you proudest of breaking?
Habit of negative self-talk. Like, being mean to myself.
And it's like, you got rid of it, or is it still something that...
Well, it's much better. I mean, it used to be really bad, but now, you know, I think I'm pretty cool now, so I'm pretty proud of that.
It's the same. We actually, like, someone asked me the question, and I think I said the same thing. Mm-hmm. I still have it, like, once in a while.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
But I think the art, or the important thing is to observe it. I always say stay God at the door of your mind. So, like, I would have thoughts like, someone is bad at you or you will never ever get there. Mm. Like, I'm going to be, like, 100% honest. But then I also know it's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the art. I don't know if it will ever disappear, like, fully. I think you just get better at it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I obviously have days when it's more prevalent than other days. But... Mm-hmm. But on the whole, you know, I think positive thoughts more than negative thoughts.
Same. That's beautiful. You're a model. And during the days of Instagram, TikTok, what else do we have? Pinterest. Everyone wants to be a model or like an Instagram model, social media influencer. is modeling something for everyone? Like, would you recommend to do it?
Oh, definitely not.
Why?
I mean, okay, so I've been doing modeling since I was 12 or 12, 13. And I would just say that I think I should have waited till I was a little bit older, because what a lot of people don't know is that modeling is actually a really rough job. It's like there's this perception of like models are just drinking like margaritas on the beach.
You're just taking some pictures. Like,
no, it's such a rough industry, especially if you're like growing up in it and you're so young. So definitely not for everyone. You have to have pretty thick skin to get through it. And it used to be really bad when I was 12, 13, you know, I took everything to heart. Mm-hmm. And I took everything personally. Now it's different for me. I don't really care as much, if I can say that, you know, so it's easier for me. But definitely not for everyone, no.
It's funny because my sister is and, like, was a model. And my father would always say, like, why do you feel tired? Like, you didn't work.
Yeah.
Like, my family is Russian, and, like, in Russia, I don't know, they just have this belief of, like, you only work if you have, like, a proper job.
Oh, my God. I know what you mean. I heard that so many times, but it's really the roughest job I experienced. You want to hear a story? When I was 15 years old, and I was working in Korea, and one time I was working 16 hours and like, without a break, and I was in my high heels.
You were how old?
15. I was 15 years old. 16 hours or 17 hours in, and we finally end. I take off my high heels, yeah, and three of my toes break, like snap, because I was in the high heels, and they're still actually crooked, if you can see. Oh, here, see how they're, like, crooked? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so three of my toes broke, and I was in Korea. Nobody understood me that I actually had broken toes.
Because they didn't speak your language? Or?
Yeah, nobody spoke English.
Ah, all right.
I have so many good stories. That
then become an Instagram model, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, that's the easier way. And probably. It's probably not as hard as, like, I don't know why people are so rude in the model industry. Mm. Like, I model once in a while, and I never had the moment where someone started to be rude to me.
Mm.
Probably they're afraid of my bicep. No, but I do know, like, my sister told me some stories. I'm like, why are humans so rude? Like, why?
Yeah, no, it's terrible in the modeling industry. Like, for example, I remember one time I was 14 years old, and at a casting, they lined us up, and they do this, like, often. But then they started doing makeup on this girl, and the makeup artist messed up the makeup, and the manager was like, oh, just take another one. Like a model. Just like, you know, like, not even people. Just like, just take another one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But apparently you are still doing it. Were there, like, obviously there were, like, good moments. What was, if we talk about the bad stuff, we also have to talk about the good stuff. What was, like, one of the highlights of your career?
Oh, well, like I said, now that I'm older, it's getting much better. So, like, the jobs that I'm attracting are much more positive, if you know what I mean, like, more creative. I'm doing a lot more sports, more yoga, more, and I'm attracting jobs that I feel like the people I'm doing it with, like, I can relate to, and I can have a good time with. So last year I was shooting a swimsuit catalog in Greece, and that was really fun because, you know, I could give them my ideas, and they were really open to my ideas, and they were really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. Of course there are nice moments as well. You know, it's easy for us to talk about the negative things because they're the funny ones, I guess. But, of course, there are nice moments.
What was the worst moment?
Okay, so the worst moment was probably any of my experiences of working in Asia. That was rough. Because I was only 14, 15, 16, you know. And one time we were living in an apartment with 10 people. We only had 2 bedrooms and 1 bathroom, and we didn't even have windows. Yeah, so it was rainy season, and it was just raining into our apartment. And that was just rough, you know, being away from home, being homesick and everything.
Uh-huh. Is it true? Like, if I think of models, honestly, I have... Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I think of eating disorders.
Yeah.
Maybe because I know so many stories, because when, like, I didn't have a mother, so my sister always took care of me. Mm-hmm. But she was like working full time as a model, so she always took me to like castings and things of that nature. So I saw a lot. Is there some truth behind this stereotype? Or?
Oh, definitely. You know, actually, to be completely honest, I have not met a single model who wouldn't have an eating disorder. So, yeah.
Tomorrow you're going to have like 10 DMs from models.
I hate you.
I hope not. I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, I really haven't met. And I've been through my fair share of struggles with that as well. I was anorexic for 2 years. And yeah, it's really that it's so much pressure, you know, and there's so many girls and the agencies constantly push on you. There's so much pressure to lose weight just to be.
What, they tell you you're fat and.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, yeah, they would tell me, actually, I'm a fat pig. Not even just fat, but I'm a fat pig. Yeah, and when I was in Asia, they would weigh us every day. Actually, in China, they would weigh us in the morning and in the evening, which is just ridiculous to me because, like, you know, like
one time... Why in the evening?
Yeah, like, I don't
know. One time
is...
Yeah.
No, one time I gained 300 grams over the day, uh-huh. Obviously, because, I don't know, I didn't go pee or something. and they said that I have to eat less food. 300 grams. Isn't that just, like... ridiculous.
It's insane. It's, like, I weigh 3 kg more in the evening than in the morning. I'm not even kidding. Like, in the evening, I weigh around, like, 98 kg. In the morning, always, like, 95, 96. So, yeah, I shouldn't,
yeah, of course,
I shouldn't model in Asia.
Yeah. And it's also so different for girls as well because of, like, our periods and stuff and our cycles. You know, you weigh completely different in the beginning of your cycle as you do in the end. And
but for me, it's, like... For a person who hears that now and, like, is not in the business probably thinks, like, why do you do that? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, why don't you just tell them, you know what, go fuck yourself.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If someone would be so rude to me, mm-hmm. I'm like, bro.
You know, I completely understand. And I ask myself this question, actually. Why do I still do it? You know, I think it has a lot to do with, like I said at the beginning, you know, a lot of my negative self-talk. I really didn't feel like I was worthy of any better treatment at mm-hmm. the time. So what they were giving me was actually exactly what I was not, you know, asking for. But I'm not saying I deserved it, but I didn't stand up for myself. You know, I wasn't like, yo, this is not cool. I was just kind of like, okay, I'll take everything.
That's a good point. Because, yeah, I think it's a lot about aura, and if they see a person who's, like, really self-confident,
yeah,
they're going to talk to you, like, in a different way. Yeah.
No, 100%. Like, now I am so much more confident, and I'm like, I'm not going to lose weight anymore. Like, mm-hmm. that's a boundary that I'm not going to cross anymore, mm-hmm. and that's what I said to the agency. You know, I said, hey, I would love to keep working as a model, but I am not going to get sick anymore. Like, this is just not. And they reacted completely differently, you know, from telling me that I'm a fat pig to then me coming and being so confident and them telling me, okay, that's fine, you know? Such a shift.
Mm-hmm.
Just from my energy, just from me, you know, setting my foot down and being like, my health comes first. I still want to do this, but not at a cost.
1,000,000,000%. And that's what my sister told me when I started modeling. She was like, Axel, health always first and be self-confident. They're going to tell you, cut your hair, color it, do it. Yeah. Everything will be fine. Don't do it.
Mm.
Just be really self-confident and be self-aware. And so far, it worked really well. I remember when... I can't mention the brand, but there was like a big cigarette company. And they were offering me, oh, just like so much money. But it was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And my agency was like, the heck? Like, what? Mm-hmm. You're not going to do it. Are you crazy?
Why would you promote that? Like, you don't believe that.
Yeah. But like from their perspective, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I said, and they after that, they respected me even more.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's just not what I stand for. I will never, ever promote alcohol, cigarettes. Processed meat.
No, I completely understand. And like you said, health comes first. And I, unfortunately, like I got really close to not being healthy. And I got so skinny at one point, you know, I came back from Asia and my doctor sat down with me and she said, you know, if you continue like this, you're never going to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like such a blow to me, you know, because like, I'm talking about this today because I feel like this needs to be changed. Like, this is a taboo that nobody speaks about. Like, I don't know that many models who are talking about this, but it is happening, you know. It's nearly every, probably not every model, but like 99% of models have eating disorders and they lose their periods because they're not eating enough. And I lost my period for 9 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is just so bad because I was so, so undernourished, you know, my body couldn't eat any. And 9 months, yeah, which is a lot, but these girls go for years without their periods, and it's such a bad thing for their bodies, and that's why I'm talking about it, because it needs to be talked about.
A trillion percent. There will be no change if everyone is just accepting the status quo and just it's just always been this way. We have to be so skinny.
Exactly.
If it's supply and demand, and if every model... I know it's super naive to say, probably, but if everyone stands up,
yeah,
like, they're gonna change.
Exactly. Like, that's what I want. Like, I want to be the change. Like, I want to be the one who, you know, because there are two extremes, you know. There are the really skinny girls in modeling, and then there are the really curvy plus size girls, you know.
I love them.
Yeah, I know, but still, there isn't enough representation of... You mm-hmm. know, the middle girls, the sporty kind, or, you know what I mean?
A trillion percent. Let's talk about traveling, because of modeling, you traveled a lot, and most of the people who are listening here don't travel, or, like, don't travel as much anymore, just because of the footprint.
Yeah.
But I think there is so much growth. Or I grew so much through traveling, and I know so many people who just, had life-changing experiences because of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So what was, like, a highlight, an outstanding moment that you went through while traveling? Was there, like, this moment?
From any travels? Yeah, I remember, so... Before, I used to have a lot of anxiety and a lot of insecurities, and whenever I traveled, like, I would get so sad, like, I would get so homesick, and I would, like, actually, like, my first trip, I would cry every single day. I would cry, and I would call my grandma. I'd be like, Grandma, I want to come home. And, but then, yeah, so it was really bad, but then, on my trip, I don't know where it was, I think it was to China, like, it was the first time where, you know, I felt comfortable, because that was also the time when I started, like, a lot more personal development, and I started, you know, affirmations, mm-hmm. and I started implementing those into my meditations every morning, and that's really when everything changed for me. And I was in China, and I was like, this is amazing, I'm not homesick at all, like, I'm fine, like, I'm safe, like, I am loved, I am safe, I'm amazing, and I just had an amazing time, because I actually felt, you know,
mm-hmm.
good, I felt comfortable, so that was, like, a big change for me. I remember that really well.
You also went to India, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think about India? It's super funny. Whenever someone asks me, how did you like India? I'm like, It was beautiful. It was stressful. It was crazy. It was like, it's so difficult to describe. It's like describing how a rose smells, because it's just insane. But yeah.
With India, it's really funny, because you either love India or you hate it. Like I feel like I didn't meet anyone who was, like, in between. Like, you either, like really liked it, or you really didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love India. But I know what you mean with the chaos and everything. It's very chaotic and very poor, but there's just such a beauty to it. I really love it.
Mm-hmm. What I love is the people and their mindset. They're like, in India, I really learned that I don't need anything in order to be happy.
Mm.
Like, literally food, water, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I lived this way for a month. I'm like, I don't need shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... It's crazy, because most of the people will never ever get into this situation of, like, only having a room. We slept on the floor, and it was wedding season. And Indian weddings are insane. they go for, like, they celebrate the wedding for, like, a week.
Yeah.
And we literally just had a mat on the floor. It got super cold during the night.
Oh, yeah.
But at some point, like after 2-3 days, you're like, you know what? Like, complaining doesn't really help here.
Yeah.
Like, it helped back then, like, with my grandma. But not in India. Like,
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And you don't complain because, like, that's their normal life.
I know.
And then you realize, I'm like, eh, that's why they don't complain.
It I doesn't... know, and they're smiling all the time, and they're so positive, from my experience, you know?
A trillion percent. Like, obviously, not all of them. Oh, also, yeah. A lot of bad stuff is happening in India, but also, like, we're talking about more than 1 billion people.
Yeah.
Of course, bad stuff is happening, especially in, like, in a poor country where people have to fight for food.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a trillion percent. I would love to listen to your Costa Rica story. Just wanted to say thank you to the sponsor of today's episode. It's myself. I just launched my online program. If you want to learn how to thrive on a vegan diet, if you want to get in shape in this year, then you have to sign up for the 30 Days Vegan Challenge. In over 25 explainer videos, you will learn how to cover all your nutrients on a vegan diet, because eating vegan doesn't necessarily mean eating healthy. You will learn which supplements you have to use, you get vegan recipes and check, plus shopping list, which will make sure that you're getting all your nutrients. If you sign up now, you can still get the early bird rate. It's only $85, but only if you sign up today. Link in the podcast description and my Instagram bio. Sign up today and now enjoy the rest of the episode. I think it's so outstanding.
My Costa Rica story, or do you mean my Chile story?
Oh, it's Chile?
Yeah.
Okay, Chile.
Okay, so I went to Chile when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And
to how many countries did you go?
Oof, I don't know the exact number, but many.
Many, right?
I was very fortunate, and I traveled a lot. But my Chile story, ooh, that's a highlight. So I came to Chile to learn Spanish. I went there and I knew no Spanish, yeah? So I could say, hi, how are you? Maybe, like, where's the toilet? That's what I knew. literally 10 days into my trip, there's this huge earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And a tsunami, yeah? And I understand no Spanish. And we were living in a house in a village next to the sea. So one evening, we were just watching TV, and then suddenly, like, everything starts to shake. Obviously, there were 12 earthquakes while I was there, but this one was the biggest one. There are earthquakes all the time there. But this one was 7.5, and we were really close to the epicenter as well, so it was really strong, and it was really long as well. It was 3.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then so everything starts to shake, and everything just starts to fall and break. Our house broke down, and then it's over after 3.5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, I survived. You know, I go to the bathroom to, like, wash my face and be like, oh, you survived. And then my phone starts ringing like crazy, like alarm, alarm, like alert, like get out of the zone of tsunami, get out of the zone of tsunami. And I was like,
your phone just literally tells you to, like,
yeah, it literally, because I guess it feels the waves or something, because I didn't have any signal there, so... Like, I don't know how it would know, but it was so loud. It was, like, beeping so loud. It was like, get out of the zone of tsunami, get out of the zone of tsunami. And I was literally like, I'm going to die here in Chile. Like, this is it. Like, this is my life. Like, it's over. I even texted my family, like, I loved you guys. And then we had to run out. Then, oh my God. This is really funny. Yeah? You know how people ask those really clever questions, like, if your house was on fire, what would you take? And everyone always has, like, really clever, like, answers, but really, in the moment, I had my phone in my hands, and I had my stuffed animal next to me. Literally, I grabbed the stuffed animal, I ran out of the door. I didn't have any shoes, any jacket. It was winter there, it was 0 degrees. I ran out, and we had to run, like, on a hill, so I was running with my phone and my stuffed animal and, like, no shoes. It was great.
Did you have Instagram back then?
Yeah, I did.
Did you, like, record a story?
No, obviously not. Like,
that would be, like, one of the first things I would do.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things I did in Indonesia when there was the earthquake.
Really?
And a tsunami. Yeah, I don't know why. Probably because I'm weird. I also, if I would be you, I would probably get my MacBook, my phone.
But you don't think about those things. You're really like,
that's like all I need. That's my life. That's my business. So I would probably, yeah, but I don't know.
No, but imagine the whole house just broke down. Yeah, you don't even know where your shit is. Like, you don't know. Like, you're just like, what the heck just happened? Like, I'm getting out.
Fair enough. You know? I guess I have to wait for the first day of course. I love how you talk about it. It's like...
Like you want to experience it. It's not, though. This is like not what I'm trying to portray it as, this like amazing experience. It was horrible.
Uh-huh. But you're laughing about it. I really do like that. What do you think? Where does like your positivity and optimism come from? Like, you talk about the sad stuff, but like...
In a positive way?
Do you know what I mean? You talked about your eating disorders. If it would be like... You're looking at it and you're laughing at all the things that are happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, obviously, it's not something to be laughing about. But
like, I love it, by the way. I do the same. People always ask me, how the fuck do you... I even make jokes about my abusive childhood. Like, all the time.
Yeah.
Because for me now, like, I've dealt with it. I cried enough. Why, like, being so negative about it?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think, you know? Humor helps, like you always say. And I've been through so much shit in my life that, you know, what's another earthquake? like, compared to what I've been through, like, an earthquake was just funny, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, that's fine. And also, like you said, like, complaining, you know, where's that gonna get you? Like, I'm fine, I'm safe, mm-hmm. I survived. Like, I'm so grateful that I'm healthy, you know, perspective, mm-hmm. I guess.
You mentioned personal development and, like, affirmations. What were tools that you used, maybe subconsciously, maybe consciously, that helped you through this, like, rough time when you were a teenager? Because I know, like, people are listening... And they're dealing with anxiety, depression. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're like tools that you use.
Well, first of all, I started going to therapy. And I'm a huge advocate for therapy because I feel like, you know, it's never embarrassing to ask for help if you need it. And I've been going to therapy since I was 11 years old every week. Not anymore. Now I go like once a month because I don't have anything like big happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to go every week. Since I was 11, yeah, and I feel like therapy, I'm not even joking, I think it saved my life.
Mm-hmm. People are, like, afraid of it. Ashamed.
Ashamed, that's the thing.
I remember when I was a teenager, and I thought of it, and there was, like, one girl going to it, she got bullied for going to therapy.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what?
No, but it's just this, again, it's this thing that, because nobody talks about it, there's this, like, negative stigma around it,
mm-hmm.
and it's, there is no shame in asking for help, really. There is, it, like I said, it literally saved my life. I can 100% say that I don't think I would be where I am today without therapy.
Uh-huh.
Because just having someone to talk to, you know, having someone just there listening and supporting you and guiding you.
I think step number one before you go to therapy is owning it.
Hmm.
Like being 100% honest to yourself.
Well, being honest, like I can do this by myself. Like,
yeah, like I'm in trouble. Like yeah. I have depression or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's like step number one. Without that... You will never ever go to therapy because you're mm-hmm. not aware of your problem.
Yeah.
I think of all like drug addicts or people who struggle with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing for them is to owning their shit, like to be 100% honest to say, like, I have this problem.
Obviously, that's the first step of anonymous alcoholics, number one.
I have this problem.
Admit that you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, say it and then work on it. And I think that's, a beautiful thing, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Sorry.
No, it's fine. And wait, what were we saying?
You wish. I think we were talking about hummus or something. You were sharing tools to get out of your shit or just share how you got.
Okay, so the number one thing for me, like I said, is therapy. And I really went through a lot of ups and downs in therapy. And a lot of when I started therapy, I was really, really broken. I was really, really traumatized from my childhood, you know. And it's actually the first time I'm talking about this openly. I've never talked about this, not anywhere on any social media.
Only on Axel's podcast.
Exclusively. No, but you know, people look at my Instagram and they see this perfect, like, pictures, and I get so many messages saying, you know, your life is so perfect. I wish my life was perfect. And that's also why I'm talking about it, because mm-hmm. it's just not true. You know, I struggled a lot growing up. I had a really rough childhood, and what I'm trying to say is that there, like, is light at the end of the tunnel, if you know mm-hmm. what I mean. And that starts with, you know, putting in the work.
Uh-huh. So I was always afraid to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I guess because... what was the reason? Probably because I was afraid to hurt other people, mm-hmm. especially the person who did this to me. But at some point I was like, you know what? it can help so many people. Mm-hmm. And I made a YouTube video about it, about like I got abused mentally and physically as a child. And I'm like, I didn't even know why it was in me. I was just like, I want to talk about it. Like, mm-hmm. it annoyed me like, it ruined my whole childhood. But now I kind of, like, I owned it and I dealt with it. I was done. So the next point was, or the next challenge was, how can I help people who are dealing with the same issue at the moment? And so many people... get abused.
I know, and I know exactly what you mean with the part of not wanting to hurt, you know, mm-hmm. or not wanting to talk about this, to not hurt the person who did this to you. And I can relate to that so much. That's actually why I didn't talk about it, because, you know, what happened to me, like, you know, I didn't want to talk about it because I didn't want it to seem like my family or my parents were bad people, you know, like mm-hmm. that's also what I struggle with the most, like talking about this and not portraying them in like a negative way, because they are amazing people and they were just doing their best, if mm-hmm. you know what I mean. But yeah,
it's super difficult, and I wouldn't like I shared it already, so I can openly talk about it. Like, my father did some like terrible, sick, insane stuff. I don't say he's a bad human being, and like I can relate. I have empathy for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wouldn't have done it if he wouldn't be an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm also like, hey, I went through all this shit.
Yeah, you like, put me through all of it.
you did it. I'm not blaming you anymore.
But it's a fact. Like,
it's a fact. Yeah. Like, you have to deal with it.
No, I know.
It.
And
you
have
to own it.
We have such similar stories that I can completely relate to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, having empathy for him, but also being like, yo, but that you know, yo, that you really messed me up.
Did you have, like, one of these moments where you... I'm sure you felt like a victim for a long time.
Well, like a victim.
I felt like a victim for like my whole childhood. I was like, why is this happening?
Why me?
Right? Why? Like, I lost my mother when I was two. Then, like 1.5. Then, like, when my mother died, I always say, like, my father died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his soul died. He became an alcoholic for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then just my childhood was a whole mess. I would, like, not every day, but every week, I would just get punished for, like, the dumbest shit ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing happened, but, like, I would get shit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say I get shit for it, I would just get abused, like, just get punched my whole life. So,
I'm so sorry you went through this. No, I'm actually not.
I don't want to get any pity.
No.
I love it. I would never, ever change my childhood.
Because it's who you are now.
1,000,000,000%. That's why I can do what I do. And I can... You said... it's super funny. You said, like, the tsunami thing. Like, it's nothing.
Compared to...
It's fucking nothing. Like, I see people struggling with stuff and I'm looking at it and I'm like, bro, are you good?
Yeah.
Do you, like, you can suffer so much more?
Not that it, we want.
No. And yeah, it's a trillion percent. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Mm. I would never say that because I'm just too kind. But yeah, that's when I started adopting this mindset of like, I'm actually grateful for this shit.
Yeah.
My life like flipped around. I was not a victim anymore because I'm happy for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you mentioned Tony Robbins in the beginning. I watched his documentary. It's called I'm Not Your Guru.
Yeah, I know.
And this one sentence hit me.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Say it.
I don't know. But a sentence that hit me was when you realize that life is not happening to you, but for you, that's when the...
Okay, I'm talking about another one, but that's also a good one.
This one changed my life. But
he said, if you blame life for all the bad stuff, you also have to... Or no, if you blame a person for all the bad stuff, you also have to blame the person for all the good stuff.
That's beautiful.
I'm like, heh, that's interesting. So I was sitting down, no joke, and thinking, what was actually good about the fact that my father beat the shit out of me?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take me a long time. Like, I was like, riding for 5 minutes, I wouldn't be so close to my siblings, I wouldn't be so strong, I wouldn't be so resilient, I wouldn't enjoy life so much, I wouldn't be the human being that I'm right now, and I'm really happy about the human being that I'm right now. And that's the moment where I owned my life, and
everything changed.
Like, right now I can be in front of my father and I don't feel like this little child anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm a big guy, and I'm happy that it happened, even though it sounds like super awful to him, probably. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only... I don't know a different way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I would blame him all the time, it's like complaining about the weather. It does not change anything.
Exactly.
But yeah.
I know what you mean with the fact that, it shaped who you are today, and... It actually that you're grateful for the experience because now you can, be an inspiration for others and talk about it and be the voice for those who, have not found theirs yet, which I think is beautiful. And I can relate to that 100%. Like, I'm grateful for it now that I understand it better and I see it from a different perspective. But, with with my trauma, it happened so early in life. Oh, I don't think I shared it yet, but I was sexually abused when I was 7 years old and 8 years old. And by a really close person, I'm not going to say who, but a really close person. And it was, it shaped me for a long time. It actually, I felt like I was not normal. And before I started therapy and before I started personal development, I felt like I was the odd one out, if you know what I mean. And that it shaped me in that way. And only when I started doing the work, started doing the development, I realized that I'm... Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I'm not the victim. I'm sort of like...
Mm-hmm. I think it's what you're trying to say is, like, it's not your fault.
Well, obviously it's not my fault when I was 7 years old.
You say obviously. I think many people who went through...
Oh, no. I'm saying obviously now. Now for me being an adult looking at the situation, saying obviously that wasn't my fault. Like, that was freaking disgusting what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was 7 years old, I felt like, it was like maybe I did something wrong. Or and also I was abused in the most disgusting way. I was... Can I even share this? I'm just sharing this just to maybe inspire others that, they're not alone. That's why I'm sharing it. But I was really abused in the most disgusting way, I think, of putting stuff inside of me and doing those experiments on me and my, private parts of just like weird shit, man. Like, weird shit happening, and being told that the reason for this is because I was sick down there, and that I needed fixing, apparently, with hands and strange objects and strange things being inserted in me, which is just you guys can imagine what it was, but this sort of, you know, feeling of not only like, was I bad that this is happening to me, like a victim in that sense, but also like feeling completely disgusting because you're told you're sick down there and you need fixing, but the fixing is making you feel even worse, then even more disgusting. And, you know, then growing up and feeling not, A, completely dissociated from yourself, like, you know, as if I was cut from my belly button up, and that was one part of me, and then everything below was the second part of me, and they were just like two walking entities in this world and not connected, just completely dissociated, and feeling like there was something wrong with me. And you know, the worst part was not talking about it because it was such a close person, and I didn't have anyone to talk about it with, right? Because if you would talk about it with someone, you would talk about it with a close person like that. So just being a little girl and feeling so confused as what is happening, and then growing up and still feeling confused because, you know, you're so not in touch with yourself, and just, you know what I'm saying?
100%. Thank you so much for just sharing that. I know that people will listen to it, especially the people who went through similar stuff or go through similar stuff. I don't know if there are too many with your kind of story. I don't. You know David Goggins?
Yeah.
Well, he is like, now he's like a famous author and speaker and blah, 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 blah. But he wrote a book about his childhood. It's called Can't Hurt Me. And he would describe how his father beat the shit out of him. And like, he would literally go back to the moment and describe everything. And when I listened to it, even though I was already, like, I'm already fixed, like, I'm happy and everything and stuff, it helped me so much to deal with it. I think you will never ever be like 100%, like it's the first 7 years of your life.
Yeah,
these are the most important years and ever.
Also, yeah,
like
yeah.
That's the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And if the foundation is fucked up, you have to work on it for a long, long time.
Exactly.
And I still have it sometimes that stuff would happen, and I'm like, fuck, that's because of my shitty childhood.
Yeah, well, also with my trauma, you know, it happened so early on in my life that actually I suppressed it so deep. So I was 7 years old, 8 years old, and I pushed it so, like, deep inside of me that I actually completely forgot about it. And I only remembered a year and a half ago in therapy, and I was sitting in therapy, and someone was sharing a story, and then suddenly, like, these pictures started flashing up in my head of, you know, me being sexually abused, and I was just thinking, like, wait, what? Like, is that me?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. It was like a film. It was like, it just like started, and I was like, wait, what the hell? Like, that was me. And then I started remembering more and more and more and more, and it's just crazy how deep it was suppressed, but how much it shaped me during, you know, growing up. Because when I was, because it happened even before, you know, I started sexually developing, because I was only 7 years old, 8 years old. So before I even had like a development in that sense already, you know, it was the foundation, like you said, already the foundation was broken. So, mm-hmm. So I didn't like have the fresh start everyone else has, if in that sort of sense. Mm-hmm. And I was so, so traumatized that growing up, you know, I, not remembering this trauma, so I wasn't aware, I wasn't conscious of this trauma, but I would subconsciously pick people into my life, like guys who would in a way do this same thing to me. Like, they wouldn't do the experiments on me, obviously, like they wouldn't go that far, but in a way they would also sexually abuse me, because on like a subconscious level, like, I believe in the universe, and I believe that, you know, universe does everything so perfectly, and a universe attracts situations into your life, positive and negative, so you can look at, you know, what you still need to clean. Mm-hmm. Am I saying sorry? Clean from yourself. So I was attracting these people who treated me so badly and abused me in different ways, and I was doing that subconsciously because I still had this trauma, and I felt like inside I felt unworthy of actual unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean. And
I'm so happy that you share that, because if I would say that as a guy, it's probably like a super unpopular opinion. But I don't think it's coincidence that there are women and men who go through like four terrible relationships in a row.
No.
Like there are, I know stories from like my personal life, girls who would go from like one abusive boyfriend to the next one and to the next one and to the next one. And I'm like, this is not coincidence, even though like you don't do it consciously. Like you're not sitting there and saying like, I want that the next guy hurts me as well.
No, it's all subconscious. And that's exactly what I had, you know. So such a important figure in my life so early traumatized me so much. So then when I was growing up and I was picking partners, you know, subconsciously I was picking those that, you know, would only love me if I had sex with them, if you know what I mean. So even really like sleazy old dudes would ask me on dates, and I, because my subconscious, like I was never into that kind of stuff. So no. but I'm just saying, like, I was attracting those kinds of energies, you know. And basically it was always just like, fuck, another male figure who just wants to fuck you, you know. Like, never, it was never like, here's someone who actually cares about you and who sees you for you. For me, it was always like, oh, he's only here because he wants to fuck me, you know. And I, this was all subconscious, and I kept attracting this, and it kept coming. And it was until I was like, okay, there just comes a point where you're like, okay, no.
Hopefully this point comes where you look into a mirror and you say like, it sounds bad, but it's your fault. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I wouldn't really say strong, like, to say it's
strong
your
to say
fault.
Maybe there's a nicer word, like, and just.
No,
I know what you mean. I would. That's how I talk with.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. I think it's triggering, especially also like to listeners who maybe went through similar things. If you say it's their fault, like
let's go this way. It's your responsibility.
It's your responsibility to set a boundary and say no more.
A trillion percent.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, when I was little, I couldn't protect myself. This person was huge, and I couldn't do anything. And I was little, but now I'm an adult, and I can say fuck no. Like. No, you know, that's the thing. What people have to understand is that now you have to protect that little girl in you know, you or little boy. You have to be the one that says no. Like, I'm worth so much more, and I'm worthy of unconditional love. And what you are giving me is not serving me anymore. So thank you for that experience. Thank you for showing me that this is actually not what I want. And bye.
What I meant with like I always say everything is my fault. That's why I use the word fault. Obviously, it's not my fault what happened in the past. But I think that I'm responsible for everything that happens in the present. If there is an earthquake, it's obviously not my fault. But I have the choice. I'm responsible for my reaction to certain things. It's not my fault that my father is an alcoholic.
Same.
But it's my responsibility. Like, I'm in charge of how it affects my life right now.
100%. And that's exactly also what I'm trying to say, is that, like, right now, I am the one who has to be the adult and be there for the little girl in me who was so traumatized, and be the one who sets the boundaries now and creating healthy relationships now. And being, you know, saying no to things that don't align with my values, and, you know, protecting my space, and, you know, feeling like I can say no, you know, because for so long I was so neglected when I was little, you know, of love, that growing up I just like wanted so much love from everyone, and I was willing to do anything just to like feel like little crumbs of love, and now as an adult, you know, I can be like, no, you know, I'm worthy of unconditional love, and I don't have to fuck you, you know, you know what I mean? So that's really where your power comes in, where you change your life and where you create your healthy relationships. And that's what you can control, not what happened in the past. That already happened.
There's this beautiful saying, yesterday is history.
We messed that one up.
This
say
time.
It right.
Okay. If not, I'm going to do 100 burpees. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow, a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called presents. Present? Oh, fuck's sake.
I get
it. Okay, I'm going to do the 10 burpees.
You said 100, but okay.
Did I say 100? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go for 100. No worries.
No, but 100%. And I hope that to all of you who are listening to this, and maybe you can relate to my story, and, you know, having gone through a trauma when you were little, and then growing up and feeling just completely not normal, and attracting like really negative and abusive people into your life, and just feeling like, ugh, like what's going on? Like, I just want to show you that, you know, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, things will get better if you work on it, and it's 100% possible to have an amazing, like, I am so happy now, I have an amazing life, but I really put in the work, you know, mm-hmm. like 9 years of therapy, and I'm not saying it's going to take you that long, it just took me that long to get to this point, but what I'm trying to say is, you know,
I think the message is, you can go through so much and still become happy. There is this beautiful book, which I don't remember the name right now. But this guy is called, I think he's called Viktor Frankl or Frankl. He's the psychologist who was in the concentration camp.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'm going to look it up right now because it was so powerful. He helped all the people in the concentration camp. His family died in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He went through everything, survived it,
mm-hmm.
and he was definitely a happy human being, and he's mm-hmm. like sharing all these stories. Viktor Frankl is his name. What's the title of the book? You haven't read it?
No.
You it's have to.
Sounds like something I would read, yeah. though.
I will put the link. Ah, Search for Meaning. Such a good book. What were other...
No, that's the... I think I would really enjoy this book, and that's also what I was trying to say, is that really what kept me going through all those years of, you know, because honestly, like, you say I'm happy now, yeah, and you say that I'm really positive, but it wasn't always like this, and sometimes it was just even too difficult for me to get out of bed. Like, sometimes it was just too difficult to live, because I just felt like, what's the point, you know? But what kept me going is feeling like, There's something better. There has to be something better. Like, there's something better coming. And that's what I kept saying. Every day I would wake up and I'm like, you know, this is a shitty day, but something better is coming. And I knew, I don't know where I got this from, but I knew so deeply inside of me that there is something better coming for me. Like, I knew there is love, and this is not it, but I'm going to find it.
Well, know? That was your purpose.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, like, we are laughing a lot, but actually we're talking about really sad stuff. Like, people... like are suicidal, they kill themselves because of this stuff.
I know.
Or like I think either this kind of stuff breaks you and you become a complete, like, just a mess,
yeah,
or you become strong, like, big time.
No, and I like, when you go through such trauma, I completely understand both sides, and like I said, you know, I'm happy now, and I was always happy on the surface, but inside there were so many days where I just felt like it's too difficult for it to live. Like, it sounds dramatic to say now for anyone who didn't go through it, but it was really just doing the most simplest tasks were just too hard. Like, it was just this weight of living was just so heavy, and everything was dark. But I was just thinking, like, no, this is not love, but I know that there is love, and I'm going to find it, and something better is waiting for me. And every time it got a little better, mm-hmm. you know, until one day it'll be amazing. You know what I mean?
Do you remember the day?
When it got really good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Or was it like a process?
Well, it was...
For some people, it's like a process, and you can't really say, it was like this specific moment.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a process for me. Like, every time it would get a little better. But then I did the most work now in the past 6 months, you know, a lot of personal development, a lot of affirmations. I started meditating so much more, and and affirmations help so much, guys. I really encourage you to start implementing those into your life, you know, just simple ones like, I am enough, I am worthy, I am loved, I am unconditionally loved, things like this. And it just completely changed my life. And now I can really say that I have never been happier than right now.
I love affirmations, but I also think it's important to mention that you have to feel them.
Oh,
if you're sitting there super sad and you just say, I'm happy.
Yeah, and I'm your brain happy. Is going, liar.
You're not fucking happy.
So when you're saying an affirmation and it really doesn't resonate with you, what I encourage people to say is, like, you add something to the beginning. So maybe you say, I'm willing to believe that I'm happy, or, you know, I'm open to believe that I'm happy, because that's kind of saying, like, okay, yeah, I'm willing to believe that I'm happy, even though you're sad, or like, I'm on the journey of becoming happy, or, you know, things like this. And then your brain is like, okay, yeah, that's fine.
I like this on the journey. I also call them mantras once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, I believe everything is figure outable. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a solution for every single problem on planet Earth. And that gives me a lot. Like, it helps just to give myself the reminder, hey, you know what? Maybe you feel bad in the moment, which is fine. Yeah. Own it. Like, say, it pisses me off that this and this happens. Without doing that, you can't really heal or change your mood.
Yeah, no, and just...
Like, you can't bullshit your...
No, I agree. And just reminding yourself... Like, what helps me is reminding myself that I am on the right journey. And I'm on some kind of journey. I'm going somewhere, you know. I'm not stuck. I'm on this journey. And like I said, what really helped me, this quote from Tony Robbins, that, you know, you have to realize that life is not happening to you, but for you.
Explain.
So... Everything that's happening for you, there's a purpose to what's happening to you. And you can grow from every single situation, whether it's negative or positive. And just always, I would encourage you to look inside, look at what it's bringing up for you, and just feeling it. With those things, it's just, that's the only thing you can do is feel it, you know?
And that's the beautiful thing about the brain. Like, you can choose how you react. You can choose how you... how you respond. Like, yeah, your childhood was bad, but now what? Like, you could say...
Well, yeah, you can...
You could sit there and complain for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you can keep going and being like, childhood, like, I had a shit childhood and now my life is gonna be shit. Like, no, your past doesn't define you. Like,
But that's your interpretation. Like, you chose a different way of dealing with it. And that's the beautiful thing. Like, some people get pissed off because of the traffic.
Yeah.
And some people not. And everything in life, like, I personally don't believe in, like, failures. Like, my childhood wasn't a failure. That's why I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. There are no victims. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if you adapt this mindset, I don't say it's true. I don't know if it's true.
What?
Like, this whole thing of everything happens for a reason.
I believe it.
Yeah, you can, like, I don't know. Like, I believe it, but belief is belief, right? It's not a fact, right?
Yeah.
Who would get, like, it's maybe, maybe not. Maybe there's, like, a universe, maybe not. Maybe there is a God, maybe not. You can choose. I just decided it's easier for me to deal with stuff if I... believe that everything happens for me and there is a reason why this happens right now.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, every human being is gonna suffer. Scientific fact. Like, your mom is gonna die, you will lose your job, maybe lose. Yeah, like, we all gonna go through bad stuff.
Yeah.
The question is, how do you deal with it? And what's your perspective?
Exactly. And like I said, for me, affirmations really help. You know, that. This is happening to me, but, you know, bad things pass. This is not for the rest of my life. This is just this moment. And okay, this moment is shitty, but something better is coming.
And this bad moment is happening, like, for a reason.
Exactly. Like, what can I learn from this?
How can I grow? like, what are positive things of, like,
yeah, what is this bring, yeah, what positive thing is this actually bringing to me?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned meditation. Do you have like a thing that you do every day, or is it?
Oh yeah, I meditate every morning. It's actually my favorite part of being here in Bali. No, waking up in the morning, watching the sunrise, mm-hmm. and then meditating.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a meditation strategy that you do like every day, like a technique?
Yeah, I do. I do like a mala every day of mantras. You know, like the mala of 108 beads. You say a mantra of every bead. So I do that, and then I just sit and. Really, it depends on every day. I try to tune into my body. I'm just watching my body, just watching how I'm feeling that morning, how my body is feeling. And every day it's different. Sometimes I wake up and I feel a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety. So I just adjust my affirmations accordingly. I'm trying to just breathe, just watching the sunrise, feeling thankful, feeling grateful.
Do you open your eyes when you meditate?
Sometimes just to peek at the sun because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, there are like a trillion ways to meditate. You can even dance and meditate. You can
100%.
I mean, it's easier, I think, for all the beginners, people who've never done it before. It's easier when you sit down and you close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
Yeah, if you're just starting out with meditation, then just sit down, close your eyes, and just really start. Just start by watching your body. Just start maybe by scanning your body, just seeing if there's any pain in your body. Just focusing on your breath, inhaling, exhaling, and just feeling.
That's beautiful. Before I ask you the last question, where can people find you? Online.
Okay.
In Bali.
In Bali. You can find me on Instagram and on YouTube. Oh, Mariana Bekova. Sorry.
No worries. What would you tell your 18-year-old self? You can think about it. Like, for you, it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
How about we say 16 in your case?
Yeah, I was 16 in Chile. I would tell her just to love life. Well, I've always loved life, and I've always... That's what kept me going, because I knew that there was so much more to life than what was happening. But I would tell her just to, you know, relax, get into the flow, just be nicer to yourself, be kinder to yourself, like give yourself a hug once in a while, you know, say nice things to yourself. Like I used to be so mean to myself, and I used to be so self-critical, you know, and everything about me I hated. Everything. There wasn't anything. And then I actually started exploring this in therapy, and the therapist was like, give me one thing that you like about yourself. And I couldn't tell her a single thing. I couldn't tell her one single thing. You know what I started with? I started with liking my fingernails. I'm not even kidding. That was this... No, but we're laughing about it now, but really, and I'm not even being dramatic. I was a model, yeah? So I was like being told that, like, my physical appearance is beautiful, but I didn't feel it. I didn't see it, and I really couldn't find one thing that I liked about myself. So I started with liking my fingernails, and I slowly liked my hands, then I liked my arms. You know, it started started slowly. So, yeah, I was so self-critical. So I would tell myself to chill out and be nice to yourself, be kind to yourself. Take yourself on a date. I do that now, actually. I took myself on a date 2 days ago, and it was so nice. And just be comfortable with yourself. And yeah.
If there is one thing that I don't like about myself, my fingernails. Because as a CrossFitter, your hands are just a mess. But no, I love everything about me. No, maybe not everything. But anyways, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you. That was incredible. Like, thank you so much for being so vulnerable.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you another time, I guess.
Okay.
Plenty.
I'm excited.
Plenty. Thank you for listening until this point. If you have listened till now, which you do, because otherwise you wouldn't listen to my voice now, share this episode on social media. Tag Mariana. Tag me. I always say your name differently.
Yeah, it's so funny how Axel says my name. funny. He says, Mariana. He's Italian. He's like, Mariana, where's the pizza? Where's the pasta? Mariana. Also, fun fact about me, guys. My name is Mariana, but I really don't like being called Mariana. And I shared this with Axel, but he keeps going, Mariana.
So how should I call you?
Mari
sounds Russian. Anyways, you got the message. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, my friends. Anyway you want it. Anyway you want it. Yeah. Anyway you want it. This is the anyway you want it. This is the